All right. Well, if you are new with us this morning, one welcome. And we are in a sermon series on a Sermon on the Mount, this very famous sermon of Jesus. And today we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. So I would ask if you would please turn there, Matthew chapter 6. And as we saw in the video, our topic this morning is that of worry and anxiety. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 6, I do want to thank all those that were so involved for Vacation Bible School and for camp. It's just been a wonderful month. We had about 250 kids or so here for Vacation Bible School. We had over 100 volunteers, both teenagers and adults. So just a wonderful time. And so I want to thank you for all the prayers and all the effort that has been put into that. And I also want to say with camp, that was a wonderful experience for so many of our teenagers, and many have placed their faith in Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're hoping to celebrate some baptism, so you can be looking forward to that. And so Matthew chapter 6 will be our chapter, and we'll be in verses 25 to 34. And we'll start there here in just a second. But as we think about worry and anxiety, I probably don't need to ask this, but has anybody been anxious or worried the past week, right? What about the past month? That should get every hand, right? Now, sometimes in these, some of my sermons, you know, I'll look for quotes and different things that I'll kind of research, and some are harder than others. But I have to say, looking for some quotes and different posts was not that difficult when it came to worry and anxiety. And so I want to share some posts that I found online. I think this is from Twitter or X, I think it's called now. And as we look at these, I want to see if you can relate to some of these. So the first one is this: my anxiety has its own anxiety, right? It's like an anxious Russian nesting doll. Is that how you feel, maybe? What about this one? I'm pretty sure my anxiety has a PhD in worst case scenarios. Some of you kind of just play out all those worst case scenarios in your mind over and over. This was a favorite of mine. Maybe you can relate to this one. So this guy's about to go to sleep, and he says to himself, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. But then anxiety pops up and says, my time to shine, baby. Let's do this. There is no sleep for that poor guy. Well, here's another one. This lady, very open and honest, she says, on a daily basis, I'm pretty much always a 7 out of 10 on the anxious scale, and baby, it only goes up from there, all right? So very anxious. So with your husband, wife, I'm not sure who's the more anxious one, but again, maybe you can relate to that post. And then this last one, this poor fellow, he says, life has been overwhelming for so long, I no longer feel overwhelmed, I'm just whelmed. All right, that's the new standard for this guy. So any of those connect? Can you relate to any of those posts? Maybe a few of them, maybe all of them, right? And so we worry, we get anxious. What do we worry and get anxious about? Well, the list goes on and on. It may be our finances. It may be the future. We worry about our kids. We worry about our grandkids. What will things look like for them? Teenager, maybe you're worried about some relationship, or you're about to graduate in the next year or two, and where are you going to go to college? What's your career going to be? And so you're very anxious about those next steps. Maybe you're in your 20s, or maybe you're recently single, and will I get married? Will I find a spouse? We also play out all those different scenarios, the what ifs, right? What if this happens, or what if that happens? And so the list of what we can be anxious about and what we can be worried about goes on, and it never seems to end. And this is how it was for the initial audience of Jesus. They were anxious. They were worried. For them, it was, what are we going to eat? Will we have enough clothes? For most of us, that may not be our issue, but yet we still have many things that stress us out, that cause us to worry. But as followers of Jesus, Jesus does not want us to live in that state. He does not want us to live in that state of anxiety and worry. But instead, what he wants for us is to have peace, to have this settled peace in our life. But yet one of the biggest opponents, or we might say one of the biggest obstacles to having peace, is that of worry, that of anxiety. Maybe you've heard this quote before. It says, worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace, right? So worried about the future, all the different what ifs, that we enjoy no peace for today. And so Jesus, he turns to this very important topic of anxiety and worry and the peace that we are to have. Now, we'll get there here in just a second, but I do need to make a few qualifications. The first is when it comes to that of anxiety disorders and depression. And so all of us, we all have our different struggles. Some of us are more maybe prone to panic attacks, or maybe you've been diagnosed with some type of anxiety issue. And so you may hear some of this and think, okay, should I stop some of that, the medicine or the counseling or whatever it may be? And you maybe kind of have this weight placed on you. And that is not the intent at all this morning. See, one of the things that we need to take away from this is what Jesus is saying about anxiety and worry applies to all of us. And there is some overlap here, but if that is you, where you have some type of diagnosis, some type of anxiety issue that you are dealing with, this is where God's common grace comes into play. See, theologians, they speak of two types of grace. They put it in two categories, that of special grace and that of common grace. And so special grace is that of Jesus coming to this earth and dying on the cross for us. The Holy Spirit working in our hearts to lead us to Jesus so we can be forgiven and placed in God's family for all eternity. That is the special, unique grace that we can enjoy if we place our trust in Christ. But there is a common grace that applies to everyone, and that is how God provides for us. And that plays itself out with doctors and health professionals and in medicine. A couple weeks ago, we prayed for a man that was going to have some surgery. And we're praying that God would heal him and be with the doctors. Now, were those doctors believers? I doubt it. I don't think so. But yet God, in his common grace, used those doctors to heal this man. And so God, in his common grace, provides us those that help with counseling and medicine. Now, those things can be taken advantage of. I understand that. But I do just want to put that out there, that those things are one of the ways that God has blessed us in our lifetimes here. Another qualification is to distinguish worry from concern. Okay, these are not the same. So you may be concerned for your kids. You may be concerned that you'll have enough to provide for your family, or will you have enough emergency if the car breaks down or whatever it may be. And that is okay. Throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, we are to have concerns. And when we have those concerns, we're to prepare and to plan and to save. What we find in the book of Proverbs is that is the wise person. They're using wisdom to prepare for those rainy days, so to speak. And so please do not equate worry and concern. These are different things. Also, you might walk away from Jesus' teaching kind of on the other end of the spectrum going, well, I just shouldn't, you know, be concerned about anything. Kind of had this very laissez-faire attitude, you know, whatever happens, happens. But again, we are to be concerned, to plan, to prepare. Those are the things that we are to do as followers of Jesus. That is the wise way to live in this world. Now, as we turn to our passage, three times we find Jesus say, do not worry. Now, that could just be enough. We often find throughout the pages of Scripture, God says, do not fear. And sometimes he just leaves it at that. But Jesus, in his grace, he says not only do not worry, but he provides us three reasons why we are not to be worried, why we are not to be anxious. And so we're going to look at those this morning. And the first reason that Jesus gives us is that you are valuable to God, that your creator God, our almighty God, you are valuable and worthy to him. Look with me at verses 25 and 26. Jesus says this. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, one of the things that's kind of a hot trend right now is doing some studies on different age groups and the stress level, the anxiety level that they're feeling, particularly after COVID, during COVID and after. And so there's different age demographics, 18 to 24, you know, 35-year-olds to 44-year-olds, 65-plus, all these different age groups. And what's interesting is every age group struggles with anxiety and stress and worry. But the age group that is struggling the most is that of our teenagers. Now, there's different reasons that have been proposed of why they are so stressed and anxious and worried. So some of those reasons are they're maybe overly connected. They're on their phones. They're connected to social media. They're just connected too much. There's the pressure of sharing body images. This is a real pressure that many of our teenagers face. And so they share these images, and that leads to all sorts of disastrous things, bullying, being made fun of, thinking their bodies don't measure up. And so this causes different levels of anxiety. There's the issue of maybe being too busy with school and traveling, sports, and there's just too much on their plate. Even some have proposed that our kids, our teenagers, aren't getting outside enough. They need to put the phone down or the electronics, whatever, and just get outside, and this would help. And I think all these, for the most part, are good factors and good reasons. But I think the biggest issue is that as a culture, we have lost the foundation of who we are and what God thinks of us. Or to put it another way, how valuable you are to God. The worth that you have with your Heavenly Father, with you that you have with your Creator God. And so lost in this stress and anxiety, yes, there are different factors, but we've lost this foundation. And this foundation that you have great worth and great value is found throughout the pages of Scripture. We turn, for example, to the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was this very young man. He was called to be a prophet of God. And he says this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart.'" Before the creation of the world, God knew Jeremiah. Before the creation of the world, God knew you. We find this in the book of Psalms. Psalm 129, verses 13 to 16, another just amazing passage about our worth. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place that is made in the womb, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body," and listen to this, "all the days of my life have been ordained for me in your book." See, God knows the date of our birth. He knows the date of our death. And we are to trust him in that. But beyond that, we find in the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter, that we are created in the image of God. Of all creation, animals, birds, the stars, the moon, the oceans, all these wonderful things that have been created. The only one that was set apart and unique and made in God's image or made in God's likeness is humankind, is you and I. Now, this truth of being made in God's image is profound, and there's a lot that could be unpacked, but the thing I want you to take away today is that being made in God's image means that you have dignity, that you are significant, that you have worth, you're valuable. But beyond that, God in his great love shows us his value by sending his son, Jesus Christ. See, yes, we are made in the image of God, but that image has been stained because of sin in our life. But God doesn't leave us in that. Instead, in his great love, because he values us so much, because he values you so much, he sends Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and he lives among us. And then he gives the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And he does this because he loves us, because we have great worth. He wants that image to be made new. He wants us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father for all eternity. Do you see how valuable you are? Do you see the great worth that you have? That before the creation of this world, God knew you. He knew the number of your days. And we can get so concerned. How long will I live? Will I be healthy? And these are concerns. But we are to trust God, that He knows our days. He is with us. We are valuable. We have been made in the image of God, and God in His love sent His Son for us. You are valuable. Paul would say this in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He says, God, who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? If God would not spare His Son, He will not spare those things we need, whether it's physical needs or whether it's God walking with us, His presence in those hard and difficult times. Now, Jesus continues, and not only does He say we have extreme value and worth, but then He gets very practical. And reason number two is this: your worrying does no good. Your worrying does no good. Look with me at verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? There was a recent study done by Penn State University, and for about a 30-day period, they had a number of participants write down any worry that they had. So these people were actually a little more prone to worry and anxiety, and so anything that popped in their mind, they were to write it down. Even to help them, you know, make sure they recorded all this, four times a day they would text them to remind them to write down their worries. Now, I got to say, that would stress me out and cause me to worry, you know, that text is coming. But they wanted to make sure it was all captured. And so they did this for 30 straight days. Now, here's what's amazing. 9 out of 10 times, the worries that, all these different worries that were recorded, they were false alarms. Most of them never happened. And even some of the things that they were worried about as it played out, it actually was a positive. It actually played out better. And the point was, all those things we worry about, all those things we get stressed out about, most of them don't actually take place. There's another quote. It's kind of unsure who the original author is of this. Winston Churchill has been proposed, this French philosopher from 100 years ago or so. But the quote is this. It's a good one. It says, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune. Oh, that sounds awful, doesn't it? Most of which never happened, right? Oh man, things are bad. I'm so worried. And then it doesn't actually take place. And that's what this Penn State study is concluding. Now, why do we still worry though? If we can't add a single hour to our life, if we can't really change anything, why do we worry? Well, going back to this Penn State study, they said one of the reasons that these people worried is they viewed worry as a valued means of coping. They saw it as useful for spotting and preventing true threats, for avoiding being blindsided when bad things happened. It was a coping mechanism. But digging beyond that is because they thought they could control things. And isn't that why we worry? We think our worry and our anxiety, if we maybe worry enough, things won't play out the same way. That we can actually affect it and control it. We use it as a coping mechanism. But Jesus was well beyond that study. And He's saying the same thing. Our worry does no good. He's saying, trust Me. And we know from other studies, don't we? That when we are so worried and anxious and just taken up by all that, it actually has the opposite effect. It hurts our health. It actually causes us to maybe live a shorter amount of time. So Jesus is saying, don't worry, you're valuable. God loves you, and even in our worrying, it does no good. Well, Jesus continues, and He gives us the third reason, and the third reason why we are not to worry is that God provides for us. Now, this is closely connected to our value and worth, but Jesus is going deeper, and I love this. And He says, He says this, if you'll follow with me at verses 28 to 32. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, he was this great king in the Old Testament, and all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, that is, those who are not followers of Jesus, they run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus is speaking of birds, and now he's speaking of flowers and grass. And what Jesus is doing is making an argument from the lesser to the greater. He's saying if God would take care of birds, which are great, they're beautiful, and flowers, which are beautiful, will he not much more take care of us who are made in the image of God? He's saying, again, you are valuable and that God provides for us. Now, we do need to note, and we learned from the birds that we still have to work, right? We still have to prepare. I mean, the birds, they still have to gather. So last week I was out and we were in Branson. As some of you know, that's turning into one of our favorite places to go. And so we were at Silver Dollar City. Last year we were silver members. This year we are gold members. All right. So we are really privileged. Next year I'm shooting for diamond. Don't really know what that means, but here we come. And so we were at the park three straight days. It was 95 degrees, okay? It was pretty tough. And so I'm kind of exhausted and I'm sitting at this table. The rest of the family's getting the meal. And I see these birds flying around. This passage was on my mind. I'm like, this is interesting. I want to see how this plays out. And so these birds, they were Silver Dollar City birds. They're picking up pieces of funnel cake and chicken strips and French fries. I mean, they're having a really good time. And I'm thinking, you know, these birds, they're having to work a little bit, but they're not worried. And that's the point, that yes, we plan and we prepare and we do different things. We have to do some work, but yet we are not to be worried when it comes to the material things of life. God will provide. He will take care of us. But we don't always believe this, do we? We question God's care. We think we care more, and so we worry. We doubt God's provision, and so we let anxiety control us. And Jesus, he gives us a little bit of a rebuke. It's interesting, and even here, God and Jesus is very gracious, but we find different stories is when people doubt God's provision, and if Jesus cares, this kind of irritates Jesus. And this is one of those examples. He's saying, how can you have such little faith? You can substitute that word faith for the word trust. He's saying, how can you have such a small trust? I came to this earth for you. I love you. I knew you before you were born. I know the number of your days. How can you doubt my provision? And he says, when we do this, when we worry in this way, we have a small faith, a small trust. But another question may be coming up in your mind. So I've read this passage a number of times and asked, well, what about the people God doesn't provide for? I mean, there's believers throughout history that have starved to death, have been persecuted for their faith. There are some in our church even now who are dealing with some major medical issues and they may not live too much longer. And so how are we to understand this passage about God's provision? Well, I think one of them is we have to go back to those passages that God knows the number of our days. And so in the time that he has given us to live on this earth, he will provide for us. He will take care of us. But we also have to note that this provision of God goes beyond just the physical. And there are some in our church going through some very dark times. And it's hard. But yet what they will tell you is that they have never experienced God's presence more, that they feel and they know his comfort. See, God is providing for them. He's providing beyond the physical. He is providing his spirit working in their life. And we also have to know that all of us, whether we die young or we die when we're 80 or 90 or whatever, that because of Jesus Christ, we will be welcomed safely home. That if we have placed our faith in Christ, life will be hard at times. It will be difficult at times, but he will welcome us in. He will ultimately provide for us. And in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be nothing to worry about. So we have concerns in this life now. We have worries, but we are to cast those to Christ. We are to let him carry that for us and trust in his provision. Now, if we are not to live with this worry, Jesus, he's not quite done teaching. If we are not to live with this worry, how are we to live? Well, we need to remember that we are valuable and that God provides for us. But Jesus continues, and he says this in verses 33 and 34. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Jesus is saying, focus on today. Again, that doesn't mean we don't plan and prepare, but focus on today. Live in the present. But also, we need to seek God's kingdom. That means our ambitions. Sometimes we want all those material things, and some of those things are fine. But our main ambition is to seek Christ. I think this is a good illustration is for our young people. Maybe you've experienced this, where you were younger and you weren't sure, you know, were you going to get married or what career was going to be? All these very big questions. And there's been young people I know that they were concerned about those things. But they decided to focus on Christ, to make God the priority in their life, to continue to follow him even when they were unsure. And God blessed them. He provided for them. And this is for us. We get worried. We get anxious. Will he provide? Will he not? And Jesus is saying, focus on me. Trust in me. You are valuable. You have great worth, and I will provide for you. Make your priority me. Trust me. Rely on me. And when we live in that way, yes, we will still have moments and seasons of worry, but we go to Christ's words. We also go to the words of Paul, who said, cast all our anxieties on Jesus, and he will provide for us. He will take care of us. You know, sometimes when we worry, a pastor once said that when we worry, this is praying to ourselves instead of praying to God. I love how he said that. We worry. That is praying to us because we think we can take care of it. But instead, we are to cast those anxieties on Christ. We are to pray to him. And he will provide for us. He will care for us. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? If that is you today who is worried and anxious, would you cast your anxieties on Christ? On Jesus, who loves you so much that he came to this earth and lived and died for you? Who is alive today because he rose from the dead. Cast your anxiety on him. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, it may be that you are anxious and worried because this life is all there is for you. Turn to Christ, follow him, and you will receive a joy and a peace that goes beyond explanation. I don't say that it's always easy, it's difficult and hard, but yet even in those trials, you can experience and know the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that is only found in Christ Jesus. And we'll be up front to help in any way that we can, to pray with you, to maybe lead you in that decision of trusting in Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, help us to trust in you, that, Lord, to know that you want us to have peace in our life, to have joy and to have peace and to have assurance. instead of worry and anxiety. Lord, help us to cast our anxieties on you. Help us, Lord, to know how much you love us, how valuable we are to you. That in those moments of anxiety, that we remember our worth and your care that you have for us. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we ask all in Jesus' name, amen.